Penguin Random House Audio presents Escape Velocity, a Dire Earth novel by Jason M. Huff. Read for you by Simon Vance.
For Nathan and Ian. In a far-off place, under the most extreme of circumstances, he did what he thought best. For all of us. A gravestone in Nightcliff, Australia, AD 3911. You seem to forget how utterly alone we were out there. There was no time to plan, no way to even communicate. Can we do this later? I need some time. I need a chance to mourn our dead. Dr. Tanya Sharma, Interrogation Transcript, 26th August, 3911. Chapter 1. Location unknown. He lay at the bottom of a deep hole, in a puddle of filthy water that sizzled as bits of molten metal dripped down from the destruction above. Skylar Lucan remained motionless for a time, just staring up at the column his arrival had carved. He remembered nothing of the actual crash, couldn't even remember when exactly he'd lost consciousness, or why. Medically induced, probably. Another gift from Eve. Her last? He called out for her.
Eve?
No response came. But then she'd said he'd be on his own, hadn't she? He took a long, shuddering breath and allowed all the sources of his frayed nerves to worm through his mind. He was 1,000 light-years from Earth, alone. His friends were scattered across the gigantic, planet-spanning apparatus of the Scipios, their exact locations and conditions unknown. All of them had been thrown toward the massive collection of alien space stations in the final explosion of Eve, their host. Eve, the only ally they had, the only one who knew what the hell was really going on here, now gone.
Holy fuck, she's really gone.
The AI had sacrificed herself. Expelled him and the others on precisely calculated trajectories an instant before her destruction in a last-ditch effort to give each of them a chance to accomplish the task at hand. He found little comfort in that. Skylar let his breath out and with it banished the enormity of his tasks to the edges of his mind. Too much to grapple with. And he wasn't about to lie here and wallow in overwhelmed shock. He'd deal with his immediate predicament now and damn the rest of it. He had to survive, take stock, find safety, find his friends.
Hello? He called. Can anyone read me?
A terrible silence stretched. He fiddled with the comm menu rendered on the inside of his visor. All channels were already on, but it showed no links to anyone else. He bumped the system to maximum broadcast strength.
This is Skylar. I've no idea where I am. I am alive. Obviously. I can't hear any of you, but if you can read me.
What? What to tell them?
Just stay put, he settled on.
No better option coming to mind.
I'll report my location once I know where the hell I am, and wait for you all to join me. Keep trying to communicate. We might just be out of range.
Now what? He wondered. The answer seemed obvious. He had to scavenge. Now that Skylar could wrap his mind around. He glanced around the pool of fluid and debris in the basin of the pit his arrival had created. The pod had burrowed through some kind of multi-level structure, a space station, no doubt. How deep had he gone? Skylar glanced up. The air above, thick with steam and smoke and a fine particulate like snow or ash, obscured the entry wound, but he figured the hole must have been patched by some automated process or else all that crap in the air would have been sucked out into space. Still, what he could see was at least 100 meters of the shredded remains of a multi-level structure, as if his little craft had dug its way down through a 20-story building. There were floors every 5 meters or so, each sprouting mangled pipes and conduits of unknown purpose, though given that most either leaked fluid or rained sparks, it didn't take much imagination to guess. The cavities in between these, though, were truly unknown. In truth, it didn't look much different from a cross-section of any Earth-based structure. He shifted his focus to the remains of his escape pod. It lay around him like a cracked egg, with bits of the foamy orange cushion that had surrounded him during the brief flight now melting away into the soup of knee-deep, viscous fluids rapidly filling the space around him. He jumped off his toes, just enough to test the gravity, without rocketing himself up into the haze above, and judged it to be about three-quarters of Earth normal. What had Eve said about the gravity on Carthage? Pretty damn close to that, if his memory served. So he must be at a pretty low altitude. As the last of the cushioning melted away, Skylar saw some grey containers floating amid the wreckage. He picked one up and examined it, puzzled at first. It was builder gear, definitely, but its purpose eluded him. He was about to toss it aside when he realized his suit was telling him the answer. In the bottom corner of his field of view, a display on his visor indicated that this was repair paste for his armored suit. He grinned, despite himself, and picked another. Ammunition, in the form of 6 pellets that could be inserted into the right or left shoulder of his suit, powering the beam weapons embedded just above his wrists. Skylar's grin widened. Eve may have sacrificed herself, abandoning him and the others to take on an entire sieged planet by themselves, but at least she'd not left them completely naked and defenseless. Another case held nutrients. He almost gagged. This would be the rather nasty food Eve had manufactured for them and never quite gotten around to improving. Skylar decided not to look a gift horse in the mouth as his stomach growled its desire to be filled with the gritty, overly sweet fare. Last, a self-replenishing container for water, filled by pulling moisture out of the very air around him. This he attached immediately to the receptacle on his lower back, and then willed the suit to extend the small tube toward his mouth. He heard the thin whir as the little straw extended, and he drank greedily, ignoring the slightly metallic taste. It was cool and wet, and somehow grounded him, putting an almost whiskey-like glow of confidence in his gut. He repeated the process with the food, choking a few gulps down. Skylar tried the comm again.
"Anyone out there? This is Skylar. I'm alive, but I've no idea where the hell I am or what to do. Reply if you can hear me."
No response came. The suit's status indicators still showed no connection to anyone else, nor any builder equivalent of a network at all. He ground his teeth at that, but decided not to spend any more time worrying about it for now. Maybe it was broken, or maybe the others were simply out of range. He left the comm switched on and set a recurring timer to remind him every 10 minutes to try it again. Finally, he checked himself for injuries. Bruised and battered, but otherwise he felt good. His suit still had integrity, too. Fed and hydrated, Skylar turned his focus toward his overall goal, the enormity of which still boggled his mind. But considered in the simplest terms, that he was here to free the world of Carthage from the Scipios, he figured his first task should be to gather intelligence. How did the Scipios hold this world? What were their society and security structure like? Was his crew truly alone here, or could he perhaps rouse some kind of rebellion from within the metaphorical prison walls? The mental image of a worldwide prison riot was almost enough to make him laugh. A burst of fire erupted into the cavity just a few meters above him, then quickly receded into a small, gas-fueled flame, like a welder's torch left on. The sound of it somehow woke Skylar's sense of hearing, and he began to listen as much as see. The dripping water, the slosh of his legs in the now thigh-deep pool, and something else too, a new sound, rhythmic, that stuttered even as it rose and fell through sweeps of extreme pitch changes. The noise came from all around him. Instinctively, Skylar sloshed over to one side of the pit, pressing himself against a wall made of charred debris, as the volume grew. Multicolored light tore through the mists above, beams of violet and yellow. Skylar knew next to nothing about life beyond Earth, but every fiber of his being came to the simple conclusion instantly. Security response. He was an intruder here, an infection, and the cavalry had arrived to deal with him. He raised his weaponized arm and waited, forcing even breaths through his clenched teeth. The one thing he could not afford was a shootout. Whatever the population of Scipios here was, it was bound to be far higher than he had ammunition for. No, a subtler approach was the only real option if he was to have any hope of reaching the surface, much less accomplishing what he'd come here to do. The flashing lights above were joined by others.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?